Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
Well, I want to wish you guys a happy Mother's Day. I'm so thankful for my mom, obviously, for praying for me, for standing for me. Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for moms. I feel like as a mom right now, it's been extra hard. Can I get an amen? It's honestly super hard, I'm going to say, to have all four kids at home, to be homeschooling three of them, and having a three-year-old running like a wild Comanche around the house, trying to attack everyone at some point in time during the day, trying to distract us. It's super hard. I feel like, Dad, y'all owe us an extra big gift this year because it just kind of sucks. I'm not going to lie. I wonder who my kids' teachers are going to be next year. I hope it's not me. I'm believing God for a good teacher for my kids because I am not a teacher. I can't even grade math. So I called the school and I said, y'all have no idea. This is so hard. I'm trying to do third grade math. I have my three-year-old sitting in my lap. He's so demanding. He cries a lot. And I need the answer key for math. And they said, I'm sorry, but we can't give that to you. It might get into the wrong hands. And I said, I'm the right hands. I need the answer key. I don't know geometry. Like, third grade geometry is hard. Who knows what a rhombus is? Oh, good. There's a couple of people in here. I need tutoring, please, because I Googled it, and I still don't understand what a rhombus is. And there's some other terms in there that I just don't know. And honestly, when in life, Miss Polly, have you used your knowledge of a rhombus? A long time ago when you were in school and then you never used it again, correct? Pastor Beth, you build stuff all the time. Do you build rhombuses? No, okay, so I don't know. I still don't know what one is. I'm so confused on it. And so it's super challenging to be a mom right now. We're still working and we're trying to teach our kids. It's a little bit stressful. I start the mornings out like, Jesus is in the room. He's going to help me. I've spent my time with him. Children come in. Let's have a school. But just by the way, before I have school, like the whole entire house has to be perfect because it almost gives me like anxiety if I try to start doing school and there's dishes in the sink, right, Addison? Can I get an amen on the front row from Addison Bennett? Everything that I see has to be perfect because if not, I will look up and I'll see a crumb and I have to go get it. I'm just super OCD. I don't know why I'm that way because I wasn't in high school, was I? I was a messy kid, but now that it's my house, I want it to be perfect. There can be no crumbs. There can be no mess in the house. And so before I start school, everything has to be perfect. I'm telling you guys, perfect. And I sit down and I'm like, today is going to be a good day. I've spent time with the Lord. And then we start doing stuff. And I'm telling Anson, I'm reading the question, trying to help him. And I look over at him, and he is not even looking at what I'm showing him. And I explode, like, are you looking at what I'm looking at? What number am I talking about? Point at something. And I start yelling, and I'm the worst teacher in the world, so I don't know how you teachers teach. Megan, how do you teach kids that are not looking at you? I don't know. I don't get it. It blows my mind. I can't do it. And so, needless to say, I yell some. Do we have any yelling moms out there that want to just tell me, like, okay, thank you. I'm not the only one out there that yells at their children. I'm also the kind of teacher, y'all aren't going to like me when you get back, Megan, is he'll say, it's 8, and I'm like, no, it's 9. That's all I know. I don't know why it's not 8. I don't know why it's 9, but it's 9. I can't tell him why, but I just tell him, erase that. That's wrong. It's 9. So I'm not a good teacher. So extra prayers for me and for all the moms out there. but Dad, you owe us big. So give them a nudge. I'm okay with nudging. Carrie, give Shannon a nudge. Pastor Shannon needs a nudge. You owe her big. She's working hard trying to teach kids. So it's a very different Mother's Day than we've ever had before. But we're going to make it. Aren't we? We're going to make it. This last couple of weeks, I've been reading John. And I love the book of John. Who loves the book of John? I feel like I do that every time that I read the Bible. I get in there and I'm like, gosh, I love Matthew and I love Mark. I never say that about Job. I never say that about Numbers. Leviticus, I like kind of skip that because it's so much, the sacrifice and how to do it and how to do it properly. And so I kind of honestly just skip through that. So no judgment, please, for that one. But I love the book of John. And my favorite thing about it is that John calls himself the one that Jesus loves. Who wants to have that relationship with him? Like, hey, Brandy here. You walk in a room and you're like, hey, Brandy here. I am the one that Jesus loves. Nice to meet you. Hi, Chad. I am the one that Jesus loves. Like, don't you want to have that relationship with Jesus that you like walk in so confidently and you're like, I am the one that Jesus loves. I love that. I love that he was so bold in that and his knowledge and his relationship with Christ that he like knew that he was the one that Jesus loved. Does any mom out there have a favorite kid? Oh, okay, thank you for your honesty. Yes, thank you. So like that kid, who is it? Is it Noah? Okay, is that bad that I just said that from the pulpit? Like, I'm like, what kid is it? Oh, don't say it, I know. But, you know, I feel like John had that relationship with Christ like Noah does with you, Angie, that he's like, dude, I'm the favorite. I can do what I want to. I'm going to win my way. He probably just caters to you, doesn't he? He's a boy. Boys are so sweet. If you're a mom that has boys, they're super sweet, and they just always say the nicest things, and Anson will say things like, oh, mommy, I love you, and look how pretty you are, and things like that. Boys are sweet. They know how to win their hearts. And so they have that same confidence. But I want to be like John and have that confidence, like that walks in the room and I'm like, I am the one that Jesus loves. Like, I don't know about you, but he loves me. Right? And I feel like that's how John was. Like, can you imagine the other disciples with him? You know, he like walks in and he's like, hey, what's up? Yeah, I'm the one that Jesus loves. You know, I love it. And so I want to have that same confidence. And so I'm like looking at the book of John. And I'm thinking, how does he have that relationship with Christ that he's like, I know that I am the one that Jesus loves. And I believe that it's that he got the revelation in John 6 that says that Jesus is the bread of life. And I believe that there's so much into that. And we're going to jump into John 6 and really talk about Jesus is the bread of life. How many of you guys love bread out there? Any bread lovers out there? I can tell. Yeah, I can tell. Bread is good. I'm going to say that I am a bougie bread lover. Yeah, I don't. My mom's looking at me like she doesn't know what that means. I'll explain it to you later. So, but I like fancy bread. You know, I like the bread from the Cheesecake Factory. You know, that brown bread. I don't know what it's called, but it's like good, fancy bread. I like the rolls from Texas Roadhouse with that sugar butter stuff. Yes, that's good. I can pass up white bread, but you bring me some bougie bread, I like will eat a whole basket of it, and it's so good. I like the bread from this place called Embers. I wish it didn't shut down, but they have like these pretzel rolls, and they were so good. And then they had like this like cheese sauce, and then you just add cheese to bread, and it's like a whole new combination of awesomeness. And it was amazing. I just missed that bread so much. So, and the sauce, I miss it. So I like bread, obviously. I'm going to go on talking about bread. But Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and we all know that. And it also means the house of bread. And I didn't know that. And I know that it also means nativity because that's what it, you know, we all know that it means nativity. But it also means Jesus, his nativity is the house of bread. He is the bread of life. So we're like, Jesus, I feel like he is like a lot of Christians. He liked to eat, didn't he? How many times did he sit around and eat? or go somewhere and eat. And we love that. That's why we're having a hard time now in life, because we Christians like to go out to eat, don't we? We like to go eat us some food. And so he ate with the tax collectors. He had dinner with Martha and Mary at their house. He went to Simon, the Pharisee's house, and had dinner. He fed the 5,000. They came, and he's like, we got to feed these people. He loves to feed some people, doesn't he? He had the Last Supper. And then after he resurrected, he ate again with the disciples. Like, so that's like a theme in their life, like eating with Jesus. That was like the thing to do. But I believe it was setting him up to show that he is the bread of life. And that's why he constantly was feeding people and eating with them, is so that he could show them that I'm the one that can satisfy you and nobody else. Bread is mentioned 492 times in the Bible. Can I get a woohoo for all those bread lovers out there? Like, it's the spiritual food, and we must eat of it. You better go get me some rolls after church. We need some bread, some bougie bread. Some bread like my friend was talking about last night that has sausage and cheese in it. Like, I don't know what that is, but it sounds really good. Heidi, can you make me some? That sounds good. I know you can. She's the baker. But if you'll turn to John chapter 6, we're going to read a lot of context, because if you don't read it all, it's going to be hard to get it, okay? So we're going to read a lot, if that's okay with you guys. So we're going to start in verse 26. And it says, let me make this very clear to you. You came looking for me because I fed you by a miracle. Remember I said Jesus likes to feed people. Not because you believe in me. Why would you strive for food that is perishable and not to be passionate to seek the food of eternal life, which never spoils? I, the Son of Man, am ready to give you what matters the most, for God the Father has destined me for this purpose. They replied, so what should we do if we want to do God's work? Jesus answered, the work you can do for God starts with believing in the one that he had sent. They replied, show us a miracle so that we can see it. Then we will believe in you. Moses took care of his ancestors every single day in the desert, just like the scripture said. He fed them with bread from heaven. What sign will you perform to us? And I remind you, he just fed the 5,000. If you look ahead in the scripture, they're like, give me another sign. The truth is, Jesus said, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. It is my Father who offers bread that comes from this dramatic sign from heaven. The bread of God is the one who came out of heaven to give his life to feed the world. Then, please, sir, give us this bread every day. They're like, give me some bread every single day. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Come to me every day, and you will never be hungry. Believe in me, and you will never be thirsty. God, we love you, and we thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of God. God, we don't take this moment lightly. God, we thank you for the revelation that you're going to bring to us this morning. God, we thank you that you're going to bring revelation that you are the bread of life, and that if we come to you every single day, we will not be hungry. God, I just thank you that you would just open hearts and that you would prepare hearts. God, we just ask for your tangible presence to be in this place this morning. God, because we know that your presence changes things. In Jesus' name, amen. If we look back to chapter 4, because a lot of this, to get good context, you kind of got to know where Jesus has been and what he has done. And in John 4, it says, verse 9, it says, surprised, he's at the well, and he's gone to the woman at the well, at Jacob's well, and he went out of his way to get there because he knew that there was going to be a God encounter that day. Surprised, she said, why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? Jesus replied, if you only knew who I am, and the gift that God wants to give you, you would ask me for a drink, and I would give you living water. And the woman replied, but sir, you don't even have a bucket, and this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestors Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with his children and livestock? Jesus answered, if you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be very thirsty again, and again, but anyone who drinks from the living water I give them, they will never thirst again, and they will be forever satisfied. For when you drink of the water that I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit, springing up and flooding you with endless life. And the woman replied, "Let me get a drink of that water so that I will never be thirsty again and won't have to come back and draw water." Jesus said, "Go get your husband. Bring him back here." She said, "But I am not married." "That is true," Jesus said, "for you have been married 5 times, and now you are living with a man that is not your husband." "You have told the truth." The woman said, "You must be a prophet. So tell me this, why do our fathers worship God here at this nearby mountain? But your people teach that Jerusalem is a place where we must worship, which is right." Jesus responded, "Dear woman, the time has not come when you won't worship the Father on the mountain, nor in Jerusalem, but in your heart. Your people really don't know the one they worship. We Jews worship out of our experience." Man, that whole line can preach itself. Y'all go back and read it. For it's from the Jews that salvation is made available. From here on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but the right heart. For God is the Spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who worship and adore him in the realm of the Spirit and of the truth. Dude, that can preach itself, and Pastor loves to preach on that story, and he does a lot. He loves it. But the thing that I was seeing and learned is that the five husbands parallel the five senses, which is touch, sight, smell, taste, and hear, right? And so then the sixth man is the man that she is living with, and Jesus comes, and he is the seventh man. Isn't that, the seventh man means completion. He's the only one that can complete her. The man, husband number one, couldn't complete her. 2, 3, 4, 5, and then the one that she was staying with could never complete her until Jesus came, and he was the seventh man, and he's the only one that can make her never thirsty again. She was trying to fill voids in her life and hurts in her life and trying to get her true identity, and she couldn't find any of that until she met Jesus, who can complete her, and he's the only one that could do that. Amen. So Jesus has come that we would never thirst again. Amen. And so we're looking at the context, setting up that Jesus is the bread of life, that he says that you will never be hungry again, and if you believe in me, you will never be thirsty. Now, the woman at the well, she met him, and she never was thirsty again. Amen? Because she had that God encounter. And then we look at John 6, where he fed the 5,000. There's 5,000 men, but they didn't count the women and children. Isn't that crazy? That is a lot of stinking people, isn't it? And so they fed them with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. And they had plenty of leftovers through that. And yet they come back and they say to Jesus, let me make this very clear. He said, you're looking for me to show you a miracle because I've already fed you. I've already done a miracle. And they're still wanting that to see, like, is Jesus really the one? But, dude, he just fed 5,000. How is he not the one? They're questioning it. They're still not knowing. They don't have that revelation in their life like John has in his life. Hey, I'm the one that Jesus loves. He knows that he is the bread of life. Everyone, when he was feeding them, I love this. He told them to all sit down. And I believe that that was because Jesus, when he comes to give you life and he comes to feed you, there's nothing that you have to do. He doesn't require you to stand up and do something. He's going to bring it to you. But you have to be obedient and sit down in his presence and receive what he has for you instead of standing up and you're trying to, like, do it yourself and try to fix it yourself. But you sit down in his presence and he's going to feed you and you'll never be hungry again. There's other times that he provided for his people, and we talked about it a little bit in here. In Exodus, he fed his people manna. Every single day, God provided manna. It wasn't what they wanted, was it? It's not exactly how they thought it would be or how it would come about, but he would provide them manna. And manna, they said, that tasted a little sweet, like honey. And the honey in Proverbs, it says that the word of God is sweet like honey to your lips. The word of God is. And that's just like such a parallel to what the manna was. And he fed us, fed them for 38 years. The manna gave life and substance to the people. That was the only way that they survived, is that he provided that manna. It was necessary for their survival. Manna was God's provision. And that parallels when Jesus came, then he was God's provision. When Jesus came to earth, he was our provider. He was our bread. He was the manna in our life. He came and he told us, this is how we need to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. He told us that we're going to need daily bread. And we need it every single day. In John 6, verse 35, it says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Come to me every single day, and you will never be hungry. And then in verse 40, it says, for longing for the Father is that everyone embraces the Son and believes in him. He will experience eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last days. And I remember, I was thinking, like, imagine trying to process this. You're the disciples, and he has said, I will raise them up, and they will live for eternity. Can you imagine them? They're, like, sitting here. They're trying to process this, and Jesus is like, hey, I am the bread of life. Eat of me, and you'll never be hungry. Can you imagine that? Like, that's, you're kind of like, Jesus is so cool, but that was kind of weird, right? I mean, because because they're saying in the Bible, it is a sin to eat flesh. And now he's telling them, like, I am the bread of life. And it's also a sin to drink the blood. And he said that I am the blood and you'll never be thirsty. And so I can just picture them. They're like, I don't understand what he's trying to say. But I believe that John knew by the Spirit of God and the Holy Spirit on the inside of him that he knew what was going on. He knew. He got that revelation. And that's how he was so confident in saying, I am the one that Jesus loves. He understood that Jesus is the bread of life, and we'll never be hungry if we can just be with him and we can get it in his presence and understand who he is. If we can share the word of God, and if we can go out and make more disciples, we'll never be hungry. I think of, we love the Avenger movies. Does anybody like those Avenger movies? Like, I love Avenger movies. And I started thinking about this, and, you know, you think about the fight that Thanos had to get all those rings in his, in that thing, I don't know, in that ring. And he had to get all of those Infinity Stones. And if he got all six of them, he would have eternal life, which he would have power over the past, the present, and the future. And I think just like Jesus is the bread of life, we have that ring where we can have the power over our past, our present, and our future. Because when we get that revelation, we have Jesus and he's eternal life, our past is no longer who we identify with. That person becomes dead to us, and we're no longer that person. We never have to identify with that. We have the power over our past. We have the power over our presence, because we're going to walk with Jesus every single day. He is the bread of life to us, and we can set up the way we live, and we walk out things in faith instead of fear, because we have Jesus, and we can determine how we live in the present. We can determine how we live in the future because we have the Word of God, and we know that the Word of God tells us that there is victory in the end. No matter what's going on in the situation, no matter what's going on in the world today, we have victory in this life. God, we know that the greater one lives on the inside of us and that we have victory. We know that he died on the cross, that sickness, disease, virus, and infection of any kind will not come near us, because we have that power. We have that affinity stone that is Jesus that gives us the power over our past, our present, and our future. Amen? Amen. In verse 41 through 44, I love this. It says, when the Jews who were hostile to Jesus heard him say, I am the bread that came down from heaven, they immediately began to complain. How can he say these things about himself? We know him. We know his parents. How dare him say that? I have come down from heaven. And Jesus responded, stop your grumbling, for the only way people come to me is by the Father who sent me. He pulls on their hearts to embrace me. And those who are drawn to me, I will certainly raise them up in the last day. And I love that the word, he pulls on their hearts to embrace me. That means to drag, to ransom. He comes. He is relentless to come and get you and pull you into his presence. He wants you. He desires you. He wants to have a relationship with you on a daily basis, not just every once in a while, not once a week. He drags on your heart and pulls on you so that he can have that relationship with you. He wants to embrace our hearts as he's, and he wants us to embrace him. We have to draw to him. We have to draw to him. He's pulling on our hearts every single day. In verse 47, it goes on, I speak to you the living truth. Unite your hearts to me and believe, and you will experience eternal life. I alone am this living bread that has come from heaven. Eat of this bread, and you will live forever. He is the eternal life, and eating that bread will give us eternal life. Being with Jesus every single day is going to fulfill us and sustain us to endure all of the things that we have to deal with. That's the only way that we can do that. In Psalms 19:9, it says, every one of the Lord's commands is right. Following them brings cheer. Nothing he says ever needs to be changed. The rarest treasures of life are found in his truth. That is why I prize God's word like the prize of the finest gold. Nothing brings the soul such sweetness as seeking his living words. We've got to seek God. We have to seek him. We have to seek him. And in John chapter 4, this is where he was tested in chapter 4. It says that Jesus was then led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, and he became very hungry. During this time, the devil came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, then these stones will become loaves of bread. But Jesus told them, no. The scripture says, people do not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We must be hungry like we've never been hungry before for the bread of life. We can't go around hungry. We can't. I think about Travis. When he comes home from work, he always says, I am so hungry. I haven't eaten all day. And you know what I tell him? Yes, you have. You cooked us breakfast this morning. And he's like, I'm starving. And like whatever is out on the counter, he just starts eating. And he'll eat the kids' food. He'll eat the kids' snacks. He doesn't care if it's the kids. He's going to eat it. And so no food is sacred. And if you've been to my house, you know that, because he'll eat whatever's laying around. And like after he eats it, he'll be like, oh, wait, whose slice of pizza was that? You know, he doesn't care who he eats after. He's just hungry. He goes around hungry. And it makes me think about Jacob and Esau in the book of Genesis. And Jacob is the second born son. And you should go back and read this story, because it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And Esau was the one to get the birthright. And his dad is on his deathbed. And they say, it's time for us, for me to give the blessing to the firstborn son. And so Esau goes out and he's going to go hunt and prepare a meal for his dad so he can receive that blessing. But Jacob comes in and he's sneaky and he steals that blessing from him. And Esau comes back and he tells him, I'm so hungry that I'll do anything for that bowl of beans that you're cooking. I'll do anything. Jacob said, give me your birthright. And he was so hungry. And I think about Travis. Like, I'm sure that Esau had eaten that morning, but all of a sudden he's like been not eating a meal for 6 hours, and he thinks, I don't care. I'm going to eat whatever I can because I'm so hungry, I'm going to die. And he and Jacob, you know, gives him the bowl of beans, and he gives him his birthright because he was so hungry. He was willing to give it up. And I feel like right now in this time that people are walking around hungry like they've never walked around before. There's no food, there's no meat in the meat aisles because people are just grabbing and grabbing and grabbing, and they're thinking, I'm hungry, I've got to get something. You know, people are putting on Facebook, hey, Walmart has ground beef, and then everybody runs and goes. And I see that as I wish that people were hungry like that for the Word of God. and they would come into this church and bust down the doors and say, they're preaching the word of God at AOL at 10 o'clock in the morning and I have to get there. I'm so hungry for the word of God that if I don't get there, I'm going to starve. I'm going to sell my birthright because I'm so stinking hungry that I can't handle it anymore. I'm willing to give away my house so that I can get into the house of God. I don't care. I'll give you my car. I just have to get to the house of God. You may run out of gas and you just start running to the house of God because you don't even care. You abandon your car because you have to get in the house of God. We need to have that hunger. And I know that Esau gave it away, but I want us to have a hunger for Jesus, that we're so hungry that we have to get into the house of God. And I think there's a lot of us that are going around hungry, starving. I believe that there are anorexic Christians here this morning, that they come here every Sunday and they get fed and they don't eat again. They spend zero time. And I have been in that place in my walk with Christ where I was even a pastor on staff and I would come here every Sunday and Wednesday and I get fed. And I would think that that was enough. I would think that I was okay. Because, hey, I'm in the ministry, so like, God knows my heart. I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm too busy feeding his people, so he understands that I'm not spending time with him. No, I was wrong. I was totally wrong thinking that I could be okay. You know, oh, hey, I serve on a team, so God knows that I'm busy and I don't have time for him. He wants us to be passionate to get into the house. In Psalms, it says that we would have passion for the house that would consume us. That's something that I pray over my kids, that the passion for the house would consume them. That they would have such a desire to be at church and to spend time with him. Catch, he loves church. Like every day, he's like, are we going to church? Are we going to church? Are we going to church? But then we grow up and we think, I stayed up late. I don't think I can make it. Or I got to work in the yard. I don't have time today. There's too much work to be done. We're not hungry. We're not hungry. And I see a lot of physical hunger in this world. And we're looking for things. And we're trying to get things to fill us up. Sports and everything. And that's all been taken away from us. Because God's saying, it's a time for you to hunger for me. It's a time for you to hunger for this house. It's a time for you to realize that I am the bread of life. Come to me every single day and you will never be hungry. But we forget the part that says, come to me every single day. We get busy. We get busy. But then we get hungry. And then we compromise because we're walking around hungry. And so it's easy to compromise when you're hungry. You know, if you're on a diet and you get hungry and you go to the convenience store and you're looking for something that is on your regimen and you can't find it, can't find anything, what do? You grab the bag of chips anyways, right? You compromise, you give it all up, you give up all your hard work that you've been working for because you're hungry and you're like, I don't care, I don't know when the next time I'm gonna eat, so I'm gonna eat these chips. And then that little compromise comes to, you go home and then you eat something else bad. You're like, I've already messed up today. That's okay. I'll just go ahead and have that piece of cake, that piece of candy. It's okay. And that's just how it is with our relationship with Christ. You get hungry and you don't read the Bible, go watch TV. You're gonna go work in the yard instead of going for what you really need to go for, which is spending time with him. I believe that if we seek God, we will find him. He's going to give us peace like never before. And we can walk into a room and say, it's me. I'm the one that Jesus loves. And that's built by a daily relationship with him. In Ezekiel 3:1, it says, the voice said to me, son of man, eat what I'm going to give to you. Eat this scroll. And then go and give this message to the people of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he fed me the scroll. Fill your stomach with this. And I ate it and it tasted sweet like honey in my mouth. The word of God is sweet like honey and it's going to bring you peace in your life. It's going to satisfy you like nothing in this whole world could ever satisfy you. It's going to give you a hope. Pastor Ty spoke on hope on Wednesday night, and it was so good. People are hungry for hope. And how are they going to get that hope? By spending time with Him. You can't have hope unless you know Him. You can't have that peace of God unless you are reading His Word. It comes with confidence in His Word. That's how you know that God's going to be faithful to you and that He's good to you, is because you read His promises. You eat of that. Eat of that scroll, and it tasted sweet like honey. Proverbs 3 says, "My child, if you truly want a long, satisfying life, never forget the things that I taught you. Follow them closely, every truth that I have given you. Then you will have a full, rewarding life. Hold on to loyal love and don't let go, and be faithful to what you've been taught. Let your life be shaped by integrity with the truth written upon your heart." This is the truth right here, and you have to write it on your heart. That is how you will find favor and understanding with both God and man, and you will gain the representation of a life living well. Jesus is the well of life. He's the only one that can make you never thirsty, and He's the only one that can make you never hungry again. And I believe that there's people in this room, maybe I've been talking and you don't understand the bread of life. You're like the disciples, like, what is she talking about? I don't get it. And I just want to know, if everybody would bow their head and close their eyes, I just want to see if there's anyone that doesn't have a relationship with Christ. You can lift your hand, and I would love for you to meet my Jesus, the bread of life, where you're never hungry again. If you would lift your hand, if you don't have a relationship with Him. All right, I believe everyone is saved. Go ahead and keep your eyes closed, because I believe that there are some people in here today that are hungry, that can honestly say, I come in here on Sundays and I eat, and then I go out and I'm hungry all week and I compromise. I give up everything that I was taught on Sunday for a bag of chips. And then I keep on eating of the other things that don't matter. Who is that in here? Who feels like they're not spending that daily time with Him every single day? And they're hungry. They're anorexic. I see that hand. Anyone else in here? See those hands. If y'all would like to stand up, everyone, I'm going to pray for those that are honest with me. I believe that there's more in this room, just because the fact that I served on this staff and acted like I was eating the Word every single day, and I wasn't. I know that there's more out there. God, just lift your hands, whoever is receiving this Word, and this Word was for them. God, I just ask that you would just be with these that have been honest, that have said, I am hungry and I am thirsty and I've been eating and drinking of things that don't matter. God, I just ask that you would just stir in them a hunger for you, that there would be a zero compromise in their life, that they don't care. That they don't care for anything in the world. They just have a hunger for you. They wouldn't compromise their time, but they would use their time of value and spend time with you. God, we know that in your presence you change us, that you change things. You turn situations around. God, we just ask that you would just fill us up with your presence, with the bread of life that makes us never hungry again. That we would come to you every single day and have our daily bread. That we would spend time with you. Thank you, Jesus. God, I ask that as we spend more time with you, that we would become confident. That we would have such a confidence that as we walk into rooms, we feel like I am the one that Jesus loves. We'll have testimonies of saying, this is what I prayed for and God heard me and he answered me. God, we'll have testimonies of how I prayed and you spoke to me. God, I just declare miracles to happen in this room to those who diligently seek you. God, speak to them. Stir in them every single morning to wake up and spend time with you. Even if it's a few scriptures and a prayer, it's time with you, Jesus, and that we would value that time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.